Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Throughout 2018, the energetic Andy Edwards has been reporting on the world of athletics for the Sunny Side of Sports. Well, now Andy is sitting back, relaxing at home in London, and he and I have the chance to reflect on the last 12 months in track and field, and also hear something about what it's like to cover the sport as a journalist. But before those reflections, let me say sporty seasonal greetings, Andy.
And seasonal greetings, indeed, sporty to you, Sonny, from London. Yes, looking forward to the festive season. Of course, some of us are working, some maybe relaxing, maybe a bit of both. But it's good to be talking to you once again.
Well, Andy, as we look back on the year, the first major landmark in terms of championships was the World Indoors held in early March in Birmingham in England. I remember, Andy, you reported from Birmingham. What did you make of it?
Well, I have to say, I really enjoyed covering the World Indoor Championships in Birmingham. That's in the heart of England. It's very much thought of as a second city next to London, and it's slap bang in the middle of the country. And by English standards at the time, that first week in March, we had a lot of snow. Travel wasn't always easy, so it was very handy to be in a place at a venue, the indoor arena, the national arena in Birmingham, with our hotels within 5 minutes walk, because actually it was quite tricky walking on the icy pavement to get in there. But thinking of it as a journalist, well-organized event, some very good competition, and it shows indoor athletics definitely has its place on the calendar. And also, I might say, as a journalist, it was a kind of the right size of meeting, in that, you know, from your experience, Sonny, covering all sorts of sports, the really biggies, the really big competitions, sometimes there's so many performers and so many of us lot amongst the media, it's really a case of who's got sharp elbows in terms of getting interviews. But this was just right. You know, the mix zone, and if anybody who's not a journalist listening think, well, what's the mix zone? Well, that's where the athletes, they come off the track, come off performing, and they file along, and there's like crash barriers. And on one side, the athletes, they can stop if they want to talk to the likes of us, the journalists, the reporters, whether that's doing text or video, TV or radio like me. And that's where you get a lot of your interviews. And everything worked very well because there were just not too many of the athletes and not too many of us.
There was African success at the World Indoors in Birmingham, both in the distance events and sprints. Talk about that.
Well, certainly distance events, the Ethiopian Genzebe Dibaba, one of the Ethiopian Dibaba sisters who have been so prolific in recent years. Genzebe won both the 1,500 metres and the 3,000. She did that distance double. She's been a tremendous runner for several seasons yet, so certainly maintaining the family honour. But I have to say, in terms of African success, I think that the crown was claimed by Ivory Coast, because it was the best ever day for their women sprinters at a championship. Muriel Ahure won the gold in the women's 60 metres, and runner-up in that sprint was Marie-Josée Talou. And Ahure has had to come through tough times because of injury the last couple of years, but she felt confident going into the World Indoor Championships.
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I ran the times in practice, but I was just so happy that I was able to put three perfect races together and then finally do it here, because it only counts if the world sees it, not when you're running, in an indoor gymnasium in Houston, Texas. So I'm just so excited.
Now, as for the silver medalists at the World Indoors in Birmingham, well, Marie-Josée Talou of Ivory Coast gave herself a fine base for the outdoor season, because later on in the European summer, she ran 10.85 for the 100, and that was equal fastest, along with the Briton, Dina Asher-Smith, the European champion, as the fastest woman over the 100 metres in the world. And looking back to those World Indoor Championships and the 60-metre final for women, Talu gave credit to her teammate Muriel Ahure for her perseverance.
We are just happy because, you know, this is not and never happened in World Championship to African, like in sprint. So I'm just happy to have both gold and silver medal. So,
and for you and Muriel, it looks great for the outdoor season as well.
Yeah, I'm happy for her. I'm happy for her because she have really 2 years bad. So this is like a gift for her. So I'm just happy for her.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with the energetic Andy Edwards in London about the year in athletics. Still with Birmingham and the world indoors, Andy. There was also silver for Luvo Manyanga, South Africa's long jump world champion last year. And Luvo went on to win the Commonwealth Games title in April. What did you make of those games on Australia's Gold Coast?
Well, there were many good performances, of course. Our Commonwealth Games overall is not the level of the Olympic Games or World Championships, so we all know that. But you can rely on some good and promising performances from some of the younger stars coming up. But it was also notable for the absence of some stars, especially the roadrunners, because those games on the Gold Coast in Australia were happening slap bang in the middle of the spring marathon season, when we have those marathons like London, Boston, Paris, etc. Certainly there were some outstanding displays at those Commonwealth Games, and for once Uganda matched Kenya on the men's side in the distance events, with Joseph Cheptegei doing the 5 and 10,000 metre double. But the Kenyans had their 6th consecutive clean sweep of the medals in the steeplechase, led by the extraordinary Conseslus Kipruto. Now, I'm sure you've been reporting on Kipruto and his achievements through the year, Sonny. And for me, one of the greatest performances I've ever seen was the Diamond League final in Zurich in Switzerland in August. Conseslus Kipruto, hot favourite, dominant runner, but early in the race, over 3,000 metres steeplechase, he loses his left shoe. Wins that Diamond League final, and it goes down to a sprint finish running with one shoe. Well, I think any of us who do any kind of running know how tough it is to run. I mean, imagine, I'm not going to go out the door later today and try and run with only one shoe. And there you've got a world-class athlete, world-class competition. He loses his one shoe early in the race, has to run, well, almost 7 laps without it, and then wins a sprint finish. Conseslus Kipruto, Kenyan steeplechaser extraordinaire.
Andy, South Africa's 2-time Olympic champion, Caster Semenya, she was dominant as ever to win the women's 800 meters title at the Commonwealth Games. Semenya continued in the same fashion in the outdoor season. But Andy, there's undoubtedly controversy around Semenya and the debate about gender in general. How do you see the situation?
Well, I think we all recognize this is an immensely sensitive issue. Hyperandrogenism is not just about Caster Semenya on her own. There are other athletes affected. And in the world of athletics, just like any sport, there can be whispers and rumors going around. And the world governing body, the IAAF, is attempting to regulate this immensely sensitive subject. And again, it's no brilliant insight from me to say there's no really easy solution in prospect, because if some athletes, and this is where Caster Semenya comes into the headlines, if they are going to be required to take medication to reduce their testosterone level, to be at, if I'm putting in inverted commas, at the same level as other competitors in the women's events, well, of course, we can imagine some lawyers saying, hang on, this is, whatever you want to call it, restraint of trade, injury to my personal rights. But on the other hand, I've heard, and this is saying in public, some elite athletes, women athletes, saying we don't feel the current situation is right. And also saying publicly, to be quoted, we feel we're competing against some rivals who are not women as we are. So no simple solution. No doubt about it. Caster Semenya is an outstanding, extraordinary performer. So dominant, 800 metres. I mean, barring injury, I don't see anybody getting close to her for the next few seasons. And she has her supporters. But I don't think anybody who raises a what you might call a critical voice or a voice of saying, hang on, is this current situation acceptable, is either being racist or antagonistic towards Caster or any other woman athlete. Situation is fraught with problems, and I have to say I'm glad I'm someone who doesn't have to be finding a solution.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with the energetic Andy Edwards about the year in athletics. Andy, while the Commonwealth Games were taking place in Australia, the month of April was also full of its usual busy schedule of marathons. We had extreme weather conditions in Boston, sleet, gusty winds. Many of the elite dropped out, and Japan's Yuki Kawauchi won the men's race, and the USA's Desi Linden took the women's title. Andy, you watch Boston from afar, but were they the worst weather conditions you've seen at a major marathon?
Yes. I mean, following that, as you say, Sonny, following Boston Marathon, the great race on Patriots Day in New England, I've never seen anything to match it. And all credit to Yuki Kawauchi of Japan, the men's winner. You know, in Japan, he's described as a citizen runner because Japanese distance running has very strong ties with the major corporations, the companies who have teams for the elite runners and fund them. Kawauchi is the one exception on the Japanese running scene. He has a full-time job. He's an administrator in a school, and he's become known in Japanese, and of course the translation is citizen runner, because he doesn't have that corporate support. Now, I think, to be realistic, he's never going to break the world record. He's never going to be up there alongside Eliud Kipchoge in a race, but he's a tough, tough runner. He's renowned for how many marathons he does. He's a frequent racer. And also looking at the women's winner, Desi Linden, strong, consistent runner. And the key factor in Boston this year, as you say, Sonny, extreme weather. And in a sense, without denigrating Kawauchi and Linden, who won, why did the rest of the elite, because these two certainly are elite runners, why did they drop out? Now, when you're looking at the pictures of Boston, you can see a lot of the runners are kitted out as if they're doing a long training run. I mean, it's like a case of these were conditions where you're wearing tracksuit tops and tracksuit trousers. And I think it's understandable that the elite who dropped out, sometimes they came in for criticism. And of course, many of the elite are East Africans. But this is their profession. When they realized that not only were they not going to win, but it was really going to be tough out there, you know, you can always think, well, save my energy for another day. And that explains why some runners, especially on the women's side, coming through second and third, were not big names, not household names, because these are runners who are pretty good, but they're not at the very top. But certainly, I think it was in a way healthy. You wouldn't always want conditions like that. But it's very good, I think, in the marathon. And Boston has a great course, hilly, very demanding, that it's not always about, can we have a world record? Can we break the course record? This was competition, and anybody following Boston, whether it was online or watching TV pictures, would be thinking, what's going to happen next? And that's good.
Andy, after Boston, we had the London Marathon. Kenyan star Eliud Kipchoge, the world record holder, won his third London title. But Mo Farah finished third, and Mo looks to have moved to a new level at the marathon, hasn't he, Andy?
Oh, definitely. Mo Farah with that third place. He broke the British record, ran 2:06, and improved on that later in the year. He showed he really is a marathon runner. And credit to Farah that he tried to take the race to Eliud Kipchoge. I mean, he was trailing, but it wasn't as if he was just running for third. Eliud Kipchoge is, well, the best marathon runner of the modern era, and quite probably the best ever, even better than Abebe Bikila, the Ethiopian who won two consecutive Olympic golds in the marathon 1960 and 1964. And of course, when we're looking back 50 odd years and more, when I say times, the whole world of marathon running is very different in that there were fewer races. There was more track competition. You saw marathon runners less frequently. But Eliud Kipchoge, the way he develops, the way he works with his management team and his coach, Patrick Sang, is just so impressive. And indeed, this was for him, running 2:04 in London in April, his third win in the British capital. And it meant something really special to Eliud Kipchoge.
I think winning in London for the third time, actually, it's a big achievement, very big achievement. That's a massive achievement, I can say. And yesterday was history. I won London for the third time and ran the second fastest time in London and also won World Apport Marathon Majors. So it's a massive, huge achievement yesterday.
We are in the middle of what could be called the Olympic cycle. I mean, you're the Olympic champion in Rio 2016, but Tokyo is coming fast, 2 years away. Do you have every plan, and does you and your coach have every plan, to be on that start line in Tokyo to defend and with the aim of retaining your Olympic marathon title?
I think in Tokyo, I would love to be in the start line, hopefully, yes.
I mean, I saw you coming onto the stage here. We're talking just after the press conference in London. It's reassuring to know every marathon runner has some weariness in their legs. But do you recover any differently now after a big race like this to a few years back when you were less experienced in the marathon?
I recover more faster now.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with the energetic Andy Edwards about the year in athletics. Andy, you also had a chance to talk with Eliud Kipchoge's coach, Patrick Sang, after his London win. How important is their partnership?
It is a vital part. I think Eliud Kipchoge would be an outstanding runner, whoever his coach was, whoever his management team were. But, you know, you get those situations in life, in sport, in business, politics, wherever you like to look, in art, in performing, in singing, where 1 + 1 really does equal 2, and it's not 1.5 or 2.3, it's 1 and 1 = 2. And Patrick Sang was a top runner himself, Olympic silver medal in the steeplechase in 1992 in Barcelona, and lived in the same kind of small village town as Eliud Kipchoge. And I've interviewed Eliud and talking about how when he was a boy, he would see Patrick Sang running and thinking, ooh, that's Patrick Sang, you know, the famous Patrick Sang. And clearly, Patrick Sang is an astute coach and has developed the relationship with Eliud, and they've grown together. And it was interesting, yes, Patrick Sang, after his London win, was talking about how Eliud has developed in the time they've been together. Because let's not forget, Eliud Kipchoge won a world title at 5,000 metres on the track, beating Kenenisa Bekele way back 2003, all of 15 years ago in Paris. So that's how long they've been a kind of in contact as a team. And interesting that Patrick Sang, the coach, said breaking 2, that attempt to break 2 hours for the marathon on the Monza Formula One track in May 2017, well, Eliud Kipchoge got very close. He ran just 25 seconds outside 2 hours, and it's not recognised as a marathon by the IWF because pacemakers were employed, and they would, like, teams of pacemakers who would come in, like being substituted and come out, etc. So it was all geared up for Kipchoge's attempt to break 2 hours. But still, Patrick Sang, as the coach, believes that gave Eliud a mental strength to know what he could do in future.
Coming out of Monza's experience last year, he believed as an athlete that human is not limited. And I think these times are not limiting factors as far as his mind is concerned. And I think he is yet to realize his full potential, but he does not believe in limits.
Andy, as you remember, Vivian Chariot won the women's title in the London Marathon. a track star who won the Olympic 5,000 meters in 2016. Vivian chopped 4 minutes off her personal best to run 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 31 seconds in London. Vivian showed the value of patience in the marathon.
I learned a lot of lessons last year because I was still fresh from track and field. And if you find like track and field, you don't have to leave somebody to go far like that. So I was just closing Mary. And I didn't think that Mary is a different person. He has been running for marathon for a long time. And for me, it was my first time too. Yeah, the other day, we decided with my manager, Ricky Sims, and my husband, that I have to be patient. I have to go with 69 the first half, and I did what they told me, and it works very well. And I trained well since last year because we decided to change some things, and it worked very nice.
That's Kenyan athlete Vivian Cheruiyot, the 2018 women's champion at the London Marathon. And don't forget, Vivian is also the reigning Olympic champion in the women's 5,000 meters race. And thanks to the energetic Andy Edwards for his insights on the year in athletics. We'll hear more from energetic Andy before 2018 comes to a close. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America. VOA. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Monday night, the defending champion Golden State Warriors won big at home against the Memphis Grizzlies. Golden State's two-time League Most Valuable Player set a career milestone, as we hear now from the AP's Ryan Leong in Oakland, California.
It was a night for milestones as Stephen Curry reached 15,000 career points and the Warriors blew out the Grizzlies 110-93. Curry needed 10 points to accomplish the milestone and did so on a three-pointer.
It was a pretty cool moment. Again, just reflecting on entire 9.5 years and more to come. So just definitely appreciative of the opportunity, the milestone, and hopefully a lot more to come.
With 4:42 to go in the second quarter, Klay Thompson's pull-up jumper gave him 11,000 career points. Thompson finished with 16, Curry added 20, and Kevin Durant had 23 points, passing Larry Bird on the all-time list.
Grew up watching Larry Bird. Well, not really, he's older, but you grew up kind of knowing the legend of Larry Legend, and to be amongst the greats, that's all you really want to do. That's a great accomplishment, but I keep going.
The Grizzlies were missing Mike Conley, who was out with a sore left hamstring. Omri Caspi scored 20 points off the bench, and Marc Gasol added 15 points. Ryan Leong, Oakland.
Thanks, Ryan. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, the NBA's reigning most valuable player, James Harden, turned in another explosive performance for the Houston Rockets. Harden fired in 47 points Monday night to help power the Rockets to a 102-97 victory over the visiting Utah Jazz. Harden is leading the NBA in scoring right now, averaging 31.5 points each game. Kevin Durant, who we heard from in Ryan Leong's report, is second in scoring, averaging almost 29 points a game. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see some wonderful photos by Reuters photographer Thomas Mukoya about the Maasai Olympics, which my VOA colleague Gwen Uten reported on Monday. And that wraps up the December 18th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
Nigeria is preparing for general elections in February 2019. President Muhammadu Buhari is running on an ambitious anti-corruption agenda. But opposition leader Atiku Abubakar believes the president has neglected the economy. An in-depth discussion on Nigeria's future.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
Each of Earth's living beings has a built-in biological clock that functions over a 24-hour cycle. The so-called circadian clock is a well-regulated biological process which helps keep our bodies healthy by regulating tasks such as sleeping, waking, body temperature, and other important functions. Now a group of scientists at Chicago's Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine have developed what they call the first simple blood test that will tell what time it is according to your body's internal clock. Called Time Signature, the test will provide researchers new insight into the impact of unsynchronized internal clocks on a wide range of diseases. One day, this test could become an important part of personalized medicine, helping your doctor determine when you should be taking your medications and other important health decisions. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour. Whoa. Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews. Ooh. Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA. Or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music
From bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito, the African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.